Hi footy friends, Alex here. Just before you feast your ears on the football hour, I want to tell you about this class new app called Hoops Connect. It helps you find sporting events and classes in your local area. Ever got home from work and fancied a kickabout? Jump on Hoops Connect and it will show you the nearest match. You can get it off the App Store or Google Play straight away. Now, on with the show.
You're listening to The Football Hour with Dom Betts and Alex Mearns.
Hello and welcome to The Football Hour. I am Alex Mearns and this is our Manager Watch series, the West Ham United edition. How you doing, Happy Hammers fans? Well, you're not too happy, are you? Sorry about that. It's been a long wait, but your West Ham United podcast has arrived. This is Slaven Bilic's edition. We hope Slaven lasts the season. Dom, why has Slaven put so much emphasis on bringing in experienced heads this summer?
Because last season there wasn't any, and you could see that they needed it because they were all over the place. You could argue the only player that even turned up last season was Winston Reid and Mikel Antonio. Antonio mainly. Without Antonio last season, they could have gone down. And he was like next level. And obviously, I love Antonio. He's from where I'm from. He started off in my local team, Tottenham, Mitcham United. And yeah, but this season, you clearly see they're bringing experience. They've got Marco Arnautovic from Stoke, who's done bits in the Bundesliga, now has been at Stoke for a fair few years.
Is that a good signing? The price they paid?
I don't know about the price, but it's just a good...
27 mil.
No.
Come on, they've overpaid.
Up front was only 20 million, but I don't really care anymore about these transfer fees because there's no point saying, oh, they overpaid. Everything's overpaying. So I think you've just got to look, as I said before, just who they brought in as player-wise. So they've got Marco Arnautovic from Stoke, 20 million. Javi Hernandez, who's still got one of the best minute-to-goal ratios in Premier League history.
Yeah, but he's only ever scored 15 goals in a season once. Everyone says, oh, Chicharito, if he starts, he guarantees you 20 goals a season.
But the thing is, right, with West Ham, they've got enough players around him. Arnautovic can score several goals a season. Ayew can score several goals a season. Antonio can score several goals a season. Lanzini can score several goals a season. So I think I want to see Hernandez and Carroll up front together.
Yeah.
That is what I want to see from West Ham. Arnautovic on the left, Antonio on the right, then Lanzini and, I don't know, Obiang through the middle. They've got Joe Hart from Man City. You're a big fan of Joe Hart, would you say?
I used to be a really big fan of Joe Hart. I used to want people to get off his back, but we need him to resurrect his career at West Ham. I want a happy Joe Hart because I like the bloke. He's a lovely lad. And if you remember back, people have short memories. He was saving Man City in a lot of games under Mancini and at the start of Manuel Pellegrini's era. There's still a good goalkeeper in there. We need West Ham to bring it out of him.
Everyone says, oh, we want him to do well for England, but even if he is playing well, I still start Jack Butland ahead of him.
Oh, yeah.
But he's good to have that experience head in the club. And obviously, Pablo Zabaleta from Man City, at least they finally signed a defender who can defend. Mm. Because they've been playing Antonio at fullback.
I know.
Your boy Sam Byram.
West Ham just concede too many goals.
I know, because obviously Sam Byram and Antonio are both really attacking players.
Yeah.
Like, although you played Sam Byram at right back for Leeds, you could tell
he wanted to go forward.
He wanted to be a right mid.
To be at back. Yeah. I want to ask you, what formation is Bilic going to play? Because it looks... We can't guarantee that Carroll's going to be fit.
You can't.
4-3-3, Antonio right, Arnautovic left, Hernandez through the middle?
You'd argue, without Andy Carroll on his side, that is what they play.
Lanzini
in behind. You could even argue maybe a 4-2-3-1.
Yeah.
Hernandez, then Arnautovic, Lanzini, really Antonio, then that. Obiang and whoever decides to play next to Obiang. Because Obiang, I think, is actually a massively underrated player for West Ham.
Yeah, no.
And then obviously the back four is the back four.
If they get their 1-11 on the field, it's not the worst squad.
The thing is, it's not about their attack that's the issue. We know they can score goals. We know that. But their defence is generally shocking. Like
leaky.
Minus 17 goal in his last season, conceding 64 goals. But I say they have no issue scoring goals, right? Last season, in 19 home games, they only scored 19. And obviously only won 7 of those home games. I hope that West Ham can get rid of that Olympic Stadium hoodoo. But everyone's saying they had a bad start to the season, which
do you think
they have.
West Ham can use that as an excuse this season?
No.
Or is that completely gone now?
No, I think you can't use that excuse anymore.
That's your home now and you've got to get used to it.
Yeah, it's not like Spurs at Wembley, let's say, where they know that only they're temporarily. You are staying in that stadium as much as you hate it, because Upton Park is not there anymore. Half of it's probably destroyed by now, unfortunately, which I liked Upton Park. It was an old school English football ground. I've been to the Olympic Stadium to see a football match, although it wasn't a full house. It was just an under-23s match, but it just didn't look like a football stadium. Even when I've been to under-23 matches at, like, I don't know, Crawley or some other small scenes like that, it doesn't feel like a football stadium. One, you're too far away from the pitch, and that's a massive thing I have. Being at a club whose ground, where you've been to Craven Court, do you know how close you are to the pitch and the players? You can hear what's going on.
Yeah.
West Ham, it just feels, you're not a fan, you're a spectator.
It also doesn't feel like the sort of home West Ham fans would want. They are working class, predominantly up and at football fans who want to sing their hearts out and be heard. They don't want to be 30 yards away from the pitch. And that's row A.
Yeah, that's...
What about row Z, mate?
I mean, that's what made Upton Park so intimidating.
Yeah.
Even from, if you're an away fan, it would be intimidating from the home fans right next to the away
section.
It's
so sad we're still talking about it, isn't it?
But it's
a big problem.
It is a big issue, and I don't know why they've moved or didn't, if you were thinking of moving, building a new ground, I don't know where, but it's a football stadium, not a sports stadium.
Well, they weren't going to build it because they don't want to pay the money. They're basically got a free stadium off us, the taxpayer. I don't pay much tax, but other taxpayers pay it.
Yeah, other people. You listening.
Yeah.
You paid for it.
Right, let's take a little break. And after that, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the West Ham board. You know that Hoops Connect app I was telling you about at the start? As well as participating in their events, you can create your own. You put the sport, you put the price, you put the number of attendees, and obviously you put the location. It's a great new way to meet new mates as well. The link to download Hoops Connect is in this podcast description below. Let's get back to the footy chat. Dom, we started the pod, we've talked about the Olympic Stadium, we've talked about Slaven, we've talked about a few of the players that they've brought in. Let's talk about Karen Brady, David Gold. Who is making the decisions at this club? It almost feels like each one of them have sort of a say on which player's going to come in. It's so slapdash. And it doesn't make too much sense. There's no pattern to their signings, I think.
No, it's like Arnautovic, Hernandez. Okay, that kind of makes sense. Then Joe Hart and Zabaleta. That doesn't make sense. If we look at their transfer rumours, let's say, looks like William Carvalho from Sporting Clube de Portugal, Sporting Lisbon, what English people want to call it, but Sporting Lisbon fans hate being called Sporting Lisbon.
Can I say there's no sell-on value in any of these players?
No, because like Carvalho maybe 3 years ago, I know they haven't signed yet, but rumoured-wise, then Mamadou Sakho, they're rumoured from Liverpool. Although it would sort their defence out, Liverpool are going to want at least 30 mil for him. And can you really be paying £30 million for Mamadou Sakho? I know I always say don't look at the transfer fee, but even that is...
He'd be a good player for them.
No, he would. I think he should leave Liverpool and go to, like, he's linked with Palace, obviously, because he was there on loan. He's linked with West Brom if they sell Johnny Evans. He's linked with West Ham. Actually, I looked at rumours today, and Andy Carroll's actually rumoured to go back home.
I've heard that.
And same with Adrian to Newcastle as well.
So dumb.
But yeah, the board, it's almost like Arsenal.
They don't listen to the fans. That's my issue.
It doesn't look like they care at all what the fans say, because, like, I know they had to play away from home for the first month because of the World Athletic Championships and they have to change the branding and everything like that. But at least, put some money towards the away travel or the away tickets. Nothing. When fixtures come out in July and fans are booking up trains or coaches, minibuses, whatever, that's like four games in 1 month.
During the summer when they're paying for holidays, their kids are off school, they're paying for childcare, you need to help these people out. Not all football fans have bottomless pits. And I think a lot of owners, especially the West Ham ones, they take the fans for granted,
Dom. But what the annoying thing is, it's not like the owners and the board don't understand English football culture.
Because they're English. Everyone says, what's wrong with English football? Foreign ownership. Well, we've got three British people owning West Ham, and they make a mess of it.
If we look at West Ham, they're one of the most quintessential British clubs, is what I would call them. It's what a British football club is, a working class club, mostly working class fans. Yet you've got this elite level board who don't really understand anything about the fan base. David Gold needs to spend less time on Twitter signing off with DB or DG. Sorry, that DB's me, as you were. But West Ham, I'm not even funny, they've never really been run that well in the last 15, 20 years.
No.
They've been going up and down a couple of times.
Where do you think, just so we finish this podcast off, if you weren't going to play any games, right, at the start of the season, where should West Ham be placed in your imaginary league? How good are West Ham? Are they, should they be challenging Everton, Southampton? Or should they be going, are they a big enough club to be going top four?
They should be realistically, for me, not quite Everton, but better than Southampton. They should be the team that's closer to Everton, that's challenging Everton.
Why aren't West Ham doing what their rivals Tottenham are doing? Why aren't they trying to bring in homegrown young players the West Ham way, like Spurs have done, but instead they're going for old right backs in Zabaleta, hopeful goalkeeper Joe Hart, old Mexican striker Stokes winger? It seems weird to
me. And then the most up-and-coming youth prospect, they've loaned out to Germany to Borussia Mönchengladbach and Reece Oxford.
Yeah.
Although, maybe he'll play more football there and be great for his progression.
Yeah, he will play more football there because West Ham don't offer the football. Dom, Slaven Bilic, in 12 months' time, his contract ends this season. Do you think he'll sign another one? Do you think he'll even make it to the end of his contract?
I don't think he'll sign another one.
He'll make it to the end of the season.
I really don't want to say he had a fluke season because I don't
In the first year?
I don't think he did.
No, it wasn't a fluke.
But
there was so much goodwill and optimism because they were leaving that stadium that gave them an extra 25%
Yeah,
in
so they thought
game.
They thought they were coming on to bigger and better things. It was their last season at the Berlin ground where they thought they were going to say goodbye to it in a great way, and they did. They finished, what was it, 7th, 8th in the league. They nearly made top four that season. Well, I was surprised when they didn't actually make it into European competition properly before they lost to Astra Georgiou or Gugu, however you say it.
I don't know, mate.
But yeah,
you've lost me.
I don't think he'll sign a new contract. I think what could happen is he could just run out his contract and West Ham get a new manager in next season.
And where will West Ham finish this season?
I've predicted for them to finish exact same place as last season, in 11th.
11th. I don't see where the goals are coming from. I see where the goals for the other teams are going to come from. I don't think it's going to be a good season. I think 14th. That's not good for West Ham, is it?
West Ham should be in the top half.
Yeah, exactly. Right, that's been the Hammers podcast, Slaven Bilic edition of Manager Watch. If you like the podcast, if you want to hear other Manager Watch, if you want to hear the other podcasts we've got, subscribe on iTunes. It's free of charge. We do this for free for you because we love you. Goodbye, football friends.
Laters.
Now the football hour is sadly over. Go and download Hoops Connect. The link is in this podcast description and get playing and organising your favourite sports. I'm off to organise a footy game. 1v1, me versus Don Betts. I'm going to make him look as bad as Mauro Fellaini doing a step over.